First, I'd like to thank Dr. Wade Thomason and Dr. Steve Phillips for their help in this, and our local Soil and Water Conservation District employees, Jim Wallace and Brian Noyes. And this grant, or this research, has been possible through a CIG grant and through some SARA money. Why we wanted to do this project is we wanted to increase our soil organic matter. Our soils in the coastal plains of Virginia area run organic matter between 1 and 1.5%. Now that's without any one tillage every 2 years. I'll show you that in a little bit. But we also wanted to reduce our soil nitrogen inputs. Our fertilizer nitrogen inputs. The state had a cost share program coming up that they were going to pay farmers $40 an acre to put in cover crops. Well, there hadn't been any cover crop studies done in about 20 years. And back then, if you planted cover crops, they were tilled in. So there hadn't been any work done in no-till establishment and burning them down and planting no-till crops into it. So nothing had been done, but they were going to pay the farmers to do it anyway. Then we've been hearing the rumbling of nutrient and carbon trading. And we knew that in Virginia, we wouldn't have anything to trade or shouldn't have anything to trade unless we had soil organic matters above 1 and 1.5%. Without that, I don't see you'd have anything to trade. So we wanted to see if we could get this soil organic matter up so we may at one time have something to trade. And again, to make farming more profitable, about half of the cropland in our area is rented, and as in most places, cropland is being converted into houses. So we wanted to slow this down any way we could, and if we could get better soils, we could trade nutrients, we could eventually be able to afford to pay the landowners more rent, so hopefully they would keep it into production agriculture. This is prior to probably 1995. This was our rotation. We'd have no-till corn planted into last year's bean stubble. Then the land would be tilled, clean tilled, then we'd plant wheat, and then we'd have double crop soybeans. And then we'd have 6 months without anything. It'd be fallow. Then we'd go back to corn. With this rotation, we could maintain about a 1.25%, 1.5% soil organic matter. Well, then we started looking at continuous no-till. I call it never-till. Now the farmers have gone to this. What you're looking at here is your seed bed for wheat planting. You may run a bush hog through it, or you may not. You plant right into that. Now this is taking our three crops in 2 year rotation from about 1.5% organic matter up to about 2.5% to 3% organic matter, but it's taken 10 to 12 years to do it. Well, this is one of the farmers we work with. He's in this crop rotation, and he's told the Progressive Farmer that in 10 years, with continuous no-till, that he's cut his nitrogen rates by 50 pounds to the acre. Now that's significant. That's about 40%. Well, I'm not that patient, and neither are most of the farmers in our area. We want to get to that position where he's gone from a soil organic matter of 1.5% to 3% in about 12 years. We want to do that more quickly. And to do that, we're looking at this study. This is a three-year study and looking at winter annual cover crops. Because we have almost 200 frost-free days. We have about 40 inches of rainfall a year. So we want to take advantage of being able to grow biomass. And we want to make that a fourth crop, and we want to grow four crops in 2 years, and we want to return all this biomass into the soil to build our organic matter up. And these are our objectives. Determine the species of these winter annuals, and when do they do best and when planting, which will return the most biomass, and which will do the best job of nitrogen uptake. We also want to determine the change in the soil nitrate over the cover crop season and evaluate the effects of weed control. The first year in 05, we looked at four different cereals, the rye, oats, barley, and triticale. Our normal first frost is around October the 20th, and that's our normal wheat planting date. Did not put wheat in the species because wheat is already in the rotation. We wanted to look at something different to rotate it. So we looked at the planting dates of early October, mid-October, and then in that mid-November. And the first year we looked at three rates of nitrogen, 0, 28, and 56 kilograms per hectare. And this first year we started it, nitrogen was only 22 cents a pound. So we only looked at cereal. In 05, we saw that the addition of just 28 kilograms of nitrogen, this is put in end of February, 1st of March, that it greatly increased our nitrogen uptake. And we can see that the additional 28 kilograms did not do that much for us. So the next 2 years, we only looked at two nitrogen rates, either no nitrogen. Now these cover crops are established into corn stubble. The corn is harvested. About a month later, we are establishing start with the first planting. There's no pre-plant fertilizer. There's no herbicides. So we're just going in into the field with a no-till drill, 10-foot no-till drill, and we looked at, again, an early, mid, and late planting. By the second year of the study, nitrogen had gone up to about 40 cents a pound, so we figured we better look at some legumes in here. So we triticale is not that accessible, so we dropped the triticale, and we added these three treatments here, crimson clover, the vetch, and the rye vetch. Each of these, for biomass, we harvested a half a square meter. And across these were planted in rows that were 20 feet by about 600 feet. And then I took the fertilizer applicator with 30% nitrogen in February and drove across it in 60-foot bands. This had fertilizer, the next 60 didn't, and back and forth. And this is how we replicated it, was in those strips. These are the three-year averages for the barley, oats, rye, and those two-year averages for the vetch and the rye vetch and the crimson clover. And this is the biomass yield with no nitrogen, none at all, just what was scavenged. And the idea is in the early, mid, and late, is are we scavenging more nitrogen by planting it early, and how much yield are we getting? And this shows that the early planting on pretty much every species greatly increased your biomass. And looking at just the cereals, the barley, oats, and rye is a much better choice. And rye is like a junkyard dog, and the oats and barley are like a lap poodle. These work good if similar to wheat, and if you put down starter fertilizer and you've got herbicides and or a broadcast fertilizer, these do much, much better. But just to go out there and plant two bushels, and that's what these went out at two bushels. This the crimson clover was 20 pounds, two bushels, about a bushel and a half. This was 10 pounds of vetch and a bushel of rye, and this was 20 pounds of vetch, and this was two bushels. So this really, really impressed us. It really looks good. Fertilizer went out about to March 1st, and you can see with vetch, rye planted early, there was something out there, there was some root mass that could take it up. The later planted, there was not as much, as you can imagine, and here's oats that was planted late. There's really nothing out there for it to take it up, and it showed. Here's what we used to do our soil sampling, the Concord tube hydraulic sampler. We went down to 90 centimeters. And this also shows you the amount of biomass where you've got a mid-planted vetch rye versus a late-planted barley versus an early-planted crimson clover. So there was huge differences, as you saw, with the biomass readings. And here you can see the soil is mellow enough that we could go down the whole 90 centimeters. With nitrogen uptake, similar to the biomass, in that the early planting gave us more nitrogen uptake across the board. And again, this is with no nitrogen. This is without any February nitrogen. And again, the barley and the oats do not compare with the rye. Even the late planted rye without nitrogen was better than the oats and the barley planted early. Now the addition of vetch to rye looks real good, and I had no idea that there was enough nitrogen in the soil that the biomass and the nitrogen in the soil could make up to 300 kilograms per hectare in the vetch. Here we're looking at the soil nitrate of the cover crops at termination. This is late April, early May. You can see that the late planted was similar to all of these in that there was a lot more nitrogen in the soil, nitrates in the soil. But you can see that the earlier planted in each one of them had taken up additional nitrogen. But rye was the only one that had enough root mass to take out pretty much all the nitrogen, take up the nitrogen in the soil. It does a better job of scavenging the nitrogen than both the oats and the barley. Looking at the winter top dress and the biomass, showed this in the other summer, but this was this is with the nitrogen, with and without, and your yields. Here showing that barley planted early is no comparison to rye planted early, but even rye planted late is equal to barley early. What it's showing is if you're busy doing something else and you can't get your cover crop in when you want to, go late with rye is better than going with or equal to barley timely planted. But with the addition of nitrogen, they all increase. This is the nitrogen uptake. The addition of, again, similar to the biomass, but the addition of nitrogen, the barley really was able to utilize the additional nitrogen, similar to the early rye. And the late rye, because it just didn't have the root mass down there, it couldn't do as well. In conclusion, the rye and the rye vetch planted early, significantly more dry biomass than the other species. The nitrogen uptake was greater with the hairy vetch and the rye vetch. The nitrogen uptake for rye was greater than the other cereals. Early planted rye reduced the amount of nitrogen in the soil in both 06 and 07. Early planted results resulted in less soil nitrates in both years. Overall, the rye, the cereal rye, with the addition of nitrogen, increased the biomass, and it increased the soil the nitrogen uptake. We showed where the barley planted early with additional nitrogen significantly increased the nitrogen uptake. One thing is, if you have rye in the rotation, you're going to have corn followed by, well, the cover crops will be followed by corn, and then there's going to be small grains, and then there's going to be possible of a take-all, but the take-all has usually been a problem. We haven't seen it yet, but poorly drained soils, wet soils, or low fertility. And we, the bottom line is these small grains and these legumes make good cover crops. They reduce soil erosion. They trap these unused nutrients, and they improve the soil quality by increasing the biomass and soil organic matter. And
we have time for a question.
Yes. The question was, how about the effects of the rye on the corn? That has not been an issue at all. It has helped reduce the pigweed pressure. We've used the rye in a no-till pumpkin production system for 6 or 7 years, and 1 year we ran out of rye and planted some the rest of the field in barley, and it was to the row significant reduction in pigweed. So, and it also is helping with some of our nematode issues by having the rye in the rotation. Thank you.
Thank you.